Welcome this morning. It's so great to see you here this morning. If you're a guest with us, welcome to Whitestone. We've been in a series over the last several weeks called Treasure Map, as we've taken a look at what God has to say about our personal finances. And I know that that's been kind of a new journey for a lot of us because we've never really considered outside of maybe some teaching that God wanted us to tithe. Maybe God wanted us to give money. Maybe we've heard sermons about that, but maybe we haven't heard a whole lot about God's desire to be involved or God's instruction for us or what the Bible has to say. Daily personal finances. Okay, I'm going to switch. There you go. We have had some kinks to work out with our sound system because, thankfully and gratefully, we added a whole lot of new sound equipment when we started Studio 252 about 4 weeks ago. But that created a whole lot of frequency challenges. And so we're in the middle of trying to work out those bugs, and we think there's probably some more equipment that we need to get. And so if you were part of On Purpose over the last couple of weeks, you've seen us trying to work those out. So thanks for being patient with us. But as we look at our personal finances, I think the liberating thing and the encouraging thing for me has been is that the Bible has a lot to say about how God wants me to look at my stuff and how He wants us to look at our finances and what it is that He wants us to do when it comes to money and the things that He's given us. We've talked about the fact that everything that we have is God's. Everything comes from Him. And so if we look at it from that perspective, that everything I have is the Lord's, there's nothing that I have that He didn't allow me to have and He gave me, then my responsibility is, if I believe that, is that He's asked me to be a faithful manager. Does that make sense? If everything you have, the Lord gave you, and it's not just the few dollars maybe that you give back to Him, and it's not just that, it's everything that He's given you. What His desire for you to do is to be a faithful manager of all of those things. And so as we think about how do we do that in a responsible way, that's what we've looked at for the past few weeks. Now this morning is the last sermon, this is the last Sunday that we're going to be looking at Treasure Map and our personal finances. And we kind of looked at this series in this way. The first week was kind of an introduction. Sometimes for those of you who are involved in Bible studies, and especially for those of you who lead Bible studies, you know that every good Bible study starts out with kind of an opening, kind of an introduction, kind of a get people involved. And that's really kind of the way we approach the first sermon. And then a good Bible study gets into the text, gets into the meat of the Scripture. That's kind of the body of the Bible study. And that's what we've done for the past 2 weeks. We've really looked into the Word. We've talked about what God has to say about our stuff, about how He views it, how we should view our stuff. And today is the last Sunday, and today is going to be that last part of Bible study, which makes it effective for us, and hopefully that's application. How does this apply to my life? Now that I know all this, so what? So the Bible says this. What does that mean for me? And so this morning is going to be heavy on application as we think about how do we apply some of the things that we've heard for the past three sessions on our personal finances. Well, one of the things we've talked about is that it's easy to get off track when it comes to our spending, when it comes to our money, when it comes to our habits. Probably every person in here could give some sort of testimony about mistakes that we've made somewhere along the way when it comes to our finances. It's easy to get off track. It's easy to get lost. And so we ask ourselves the questions. Maybe you're here right now and you're in this place right now, or you have in the past, you've asked those questions of it feels like I make more money than I've ever made, but I'm still not content. Why am I not content? And we ask ourselves the question, why do I feel so much pressure? Am I saving enough? Am I going to have enough money for my kids when they go to college? Am I going to have enough money when I retire? Am I giving enough? Am I being responsible with my money? Why is it that we can never seem to get ahead? Why is it that our heads always seems like to be underwater? Why is it that we continue to make these commitments about how we're going to spend our money and how we're going to look at our money, how we're going to use our money, but then we make the same mistakes over and over and over? We never seem to get out of this, and the questions go on and on and on. And we ask ourselves, how did I get in so much debt? And how do other people have this much debt? And what do other people do when they have this much debt? And what happened? What was it that came out of control? What was it that unraveled for us to be in a position where we don't just live off of 100%, but we actually live off of more like 110%. And that's why we keep finding ourselves in the hole year after year after year. And the questions go on. And so one of the things we looked at in the first week as we looked at Treasure Map was this. was that it's important that we don't develop the mindset that here we have a spiritual life and here we have a financial life, and the two things are never meant to meet each other. And it's easy to fall into that mindset. And one of the things that we talked about was that in order to be a full-hearted follower of Jesus, that if you and I say, Jesus, I want to follow you with my whole life, I want to give you my whole life, then we can't divorce our finances from that devotion. We can't say, I'll follow you with my whole life except for this one area. If we're going to love Jesus and follow Him, we have to love Him and follow Him with everything that we have. And so we talked about that. At some point, we have to allow Him to get involved. And we can't remain off track in our finances and follow Jesus at the same time. We just can't do it. Jesus said a tremendous amount about money. In fact, He talked about money more than He talked about anything else. He talked about it a lot. But you know one thing? He never did ask for any. He talked about it a lot, but He never asked for any. And the reason He talked about it a lot was this. He knew that there was a connection between our stuff and the things in our life and our heart. And see, Jesus never wanted anything from us in terms of our finances, but it was what He wanted for us in terms of our heart and our life and the things that He wanted to build into us. That's what He was concerned with. And He knew that our heart and our stuff were attached to each other. And that if He could get us and get our mind around the fact that our stuff is God's and that we use our stuff for Him, then there would be a connection with our hearts. I want you to listen to this verse. Proverbs 28:26 will be here on the screen for you. It says this. This is kind of the umbrella verse that we're going to look at this morning. Proverbs 28:26. Now, as I say this, I'm going to ask you to fill in the blank here in just a minute, okay? So be ready to respond. He who trusts in himself is a... Let's try it again. He who trusts in himself is a... I know your mama told you not to say that when you were growing up. But he who trusts in himself is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Now, there's promise in that verse. The promise is this. Is that when we enter into any major decision in our life, whether it comes to business or relationships or especially in finance, that the question that we ask ourselves, it says, he who trusts himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. The question that we need to ask ourselves is this: what's the wise thing for me to do? When we're thinking about our finances, when we're thinking about our total picture, when we're thinking about daily decisions, what's the wise thing for me to do? What do I do that's wise? And so often the reason that we find ourselves in trouble, and it can be in finances or it can be in relationships or other areas, but the reason that we find ourselves in trouble is that somewhere along the way we stopped asking or we didn't ask, you know, what's the wisest thing to do here? And after a while, we find ourselves in a situation that we need to be delivered by. You know? It's like, God, what can I do to get out of this situation? You know? What can I do to get out of this relationship? What can I do to get out of this financial hole that I'm in? Somewhere along the way, we forsook wisdom. And we have to be delivered by it. And the Scripture teaches that the person who pays attention to wisdom, wise counsel, who doesn't go with their gut, who doesn't just go with conventional wisdom, who doesn't just go with culture, that's the person who is wise. But it's the person who says, you know what, I'm just going to do the best I can. And we talked last week a lot about our wants versus our needs and the fact that a lot of times we've created a need. It's not a real need. We created a need. It's called an artificial need because it's not a real need. It's because we said yes to our wants and we found ourselves in a hole. And all of a sudden, now we have a need. And the reason we did that was we followed our gut. We followed marketing. We bought into the message that you don't have this and you need to have this. And if you have this, your life will be better. And culture is not at all about getting something for you. It's about getting something from you. That's what it's all about. And so, For those of us who need to step into a life that says, you know what, I want to make the wise choice. I want to say no to all the messages I hear. I said this last week. It's not that there's anything wrong with marketers. People have to make a living. It's okay to market things. I just don't want to be influenced by it. I want to make wise decisions. And there's four ways, there's four wise decisions that we're going to talk about this morning when it comes to your finances. Four decisions that we can apply to our lives out of what we've talked about these last few weeks when it comes to our finances. And these go against the grain. They go against all the messages that we hear. They go against all the impulses that we feel when it comes to purchasing, when it comes to debt. But it'll help us from moving from being under pressure, from being lost, to a point where we have peace and freedom. Last week we talked about the fact that for so many of us, when we get into those places of pressure, when we get into those places where we feel pressure and we feel like our head's below the water and we never can get to where we need to do, it's that our lifestyle is here and our income is here. And so as we talk about these four things to apply to our lives, what can happen with these four things is it will develop in us a place where we can have peace, where we can have freedom, where we can feel the freedom to be generous, when we can have the room to make decisions, that we have a choice about what to do with our money. It'd be a great place to be. And the truth is that God can be trusted. He's our Father in every realm of life. And you know what? For so many of us, the truth is, and the sad part is that we take our cues from culture. We take our cues from companies. We take our cues from marketing that says, we want something from you. And if you'll just sign this, if you'll just let us enter into a partnership where we can just charge you just a little bit of interest, we just want something from you. And we would love to develop a partnership for the rest of your life. That would be our goal. That would be our desire. But what we're talking about here this morning is, let's take our cues from who? From the Father. Somebody who says, I love you, and I can be trusted, and I have the best for you in mind. So let's talk about that. First thing is this. First wise decision that you can make when it comes to your finances is this. Choose a percentage of your income on which to live. And a lot of you probably thought, Izzy will say, choose a percentage of my income on what I'm going to give to the church. Haven't said a word about Whitestone in any of this, in any of this series. Because what we want to talk about is, what does the Word say? What does God want for you? It's not about what we want to get from you. Choose a percentage of your income on which to live. What percentage, asking the question, what percentage of my income do I want to live on? Because you know what? The truth is, for every person in this room, you live on a percentage. You live on a percentage of your income. And if you and I don't stop to ask the question, first is the question this, what percentage am I living on right now? And then to say, I want to set a goal of, this is the percentage I want to live on. Because for most of us, if we don't ask the question, what percentage of my income do I want to live on? You know what's going to happen? We're going to live on 100% of it. All on us, all on me, everything spent on me. And more than likely for a lot of us, we're not just going to live on 100%. We're going to live on about 105, 106, 110%. We're going to live on more than we have. And that's what happens when we don't stop to ask the wise question, what percentage do I want to live on? We get to choose. The desire here is that you choose and not allow other people to choose for you. When you choose, you decide ahead of time, this is the kind of life we want to live. And so it doesn't matter for many of us, for most of us maybe in this room, there's been times in your marriage, times in your life where there were changes. There were changes when it came to your job. There were changes when it came to finances. Sometimes that was more and sometimes that was less. And when you and I make the decision, this is the percentage I'm going to live on, then no matter what God has for your future, it's easier to adjust to that when you've already decided ahead of time, when you've made a preemptive decision to say, you know what, I'm going to decide with God's help and God's input what it is that He wants me to live on, and I'm not going to let other people decide that for me. One of the first wise decisions you can make is to decide what percentage of your income do you want to live on. You know why? Because some people have already really decided that for you. I mean, the government's already decided you're not going to live on 100%. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've already decided that for you. They're going to take about 20, maybe even more percent for you. That decision's already been made. But you can do the wise thing. You can do the thing that so very few many people do, and that's decide, what is it, what percent do I want to live on? It's so important for couples that are thinking about getting married, and I share this with couples a lot, is that as they're thinking about getting married, is that first year, those first couple of years, you'll never have more discretionary income in your life than you will the first year or two that you get married. I mean, you'll have more income on which you can choose how to spend that when the first year or two that you're married than any other time, because after that comes more responsibilities. There's children that come into the picture. And so you can decide early on, you know what? I think I want to decide that I want to do my best, because I know that the first thing God wants me to do is He wants me to give, and He wants me to save, and He wants me to live on the rest. And so I'm going to set a goal that I'm going to live on 60%. And people will look at you like, what? You're crazy. But the reality is this: when you decide early on in life as a single person or as a young married couple to do that, it's so much easier as the years go on to live from perspective and from a place of peace and freedom and margin and the ability to choose where you want your money to go. And when God says, I want you to bless so-and-so this way, you say, yes, Lord, I will, because I can. Because you and I made the decision a long time ago. You know what? I've never met a couple yet that said this. You know what? The biggest problem with our marriage is we're just not spending enough money. I mean, we just don't spend enough money. I can't get her to go to the mall. I mean, I just keep trying to get her to spend more money. She won't spend enough money. I want her to spend more. I keep saying, honey, you just need to spend more money. She says, you know what? I've just been trying to get him to go to the car lot. He just won't go. I've been saying, you need a car. I've never heard a couple say that yet. The biggest problem in our marriage is that we don't spend enough money. You never hear that. You know why? One of the reasons that we don't hear, what is it that God would want me to do with this room that I have in my budget? I've got room to be able to do what God wants me to do with it. And you know what? Listen, hear me say this. What I'm saying today is not just some great ideas from a financial book or from an opinion of a person. These are biblical principles that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. And you know what happens? As the margin in your income goes up, as the margin in your spending, the room that you have goes up, so does your peace. So does your freedom. So does your ability to be generous and bless other people. Figure out the percentage you want to live on. Pick a percentage to live on. Adjust accordingly. It's the wise thing to do. Second thing is this. Not only pick a percentage that you want to live on, but track your spending. Now, I said that several weeks ago. In the first week, track your spending. Some of us do this. For some couples, one person wants to do it, another person doesn't want to do it. But track your spending. The money you manage isn't your own. The important thing is to track where it's going. You can't figure out where you are financially. You can't get to where you want to go until you figure out where you are. And the first step in figuring out where you are is to begin to track your spending. Figure out there's only so much going in, there's only so much going out. It's just numbers. There's no mystery. When you talk about your money, you should never be able to say, well, I think it might be, well, it seems that, or I think, you know, you should be able to know cold, hard facts. This is what comes in, this is what goes out, and this is how God wants me to use it and how He wants me to spend it. But for a lot of us, this is kind of like, well, you know, if I'll just kind of stay in a mystery, if it'll all just be kind of nebulous to me, then I won't feel the pressure, because I've felt the pressure before, and maybe in time, it's just going to work itself out. How's that working for you? It probably has just never worked itself out. And the only way that you can figure out where you are is when you begin to say, whatever method it is that you want to use, if you want to use a balance sheet, a ledger sheet, if you want to use some sort of computer program, whatever it is, but let me encourage you, find out where your money's going. And then you make the decision, this is where I want it to go. There's couples that all the time will say this. They'll say, you know what? Yeah, I know that you say that's important, and I've heard people say this. I know you say that's important, but you know what? It's just, we give and we save, and I know those things are important to God, but we just don't really keep track. I mean, because we give and we save, and we have enough money to live on, and so we just don't really kind of keep track of it. We just really don't think it's that important. Let me ask you this. If you had a financial advisor, okay, if you had a financial planner, and he's the guy that you give money to, and you give him money every month, and you say, I want you to invest this for my future, I want you to invest this for my retirement or for my college, for my kids' college fund, or whatever it is. If you had a financial planner, and you went to him, and you said, you know what, I just want to kind of, it's been maybe 6 months or a year, maybe 3 months since we talked, and I just want to kind of see, how are things doing? How are they, how's my money doing? And he said this. You know what? You just got so much money. You're not going to want for the future. You got plenty of money. I just stopped keeping track of it. You know, I just decided, you know what? You've got enough. I don't keep track of it anymore. I feel like you're pretty secure. Your future's pretty good. You know what you'd say? That's my money. I gave you this money to what? To manage for me. This is the end of the road for you, Jack. Because you're supposed to manage my money. What did we start out with this morning? What's the first thing we talked about? Everything we have is whose? And what are we? We're a manager. What does God want from us? To look at it, to take care of it, to figure out where it is that He wants it to go. But you know what? Let me say this. I used to hear this all the time, but it's so true. God doesn't need my money to further His kingdom. It's not that God is just desperate for the few little $100 a month that you might put in the plate, or the few little $100 a month that you might help some ministry to poor people, or to some ministry that helps people around the world for the expansion of God's kingdom. It's not that He really needs it. You know what it is? It's what He wants to do in your life, in the area of faithfulness and what He wants to do in your life. Will He take that and use it? Absolutely. But it's not that He can't survive without it, because He can. Look at the model of Jesus. He never really did ask for it. But what God wants to do in your life is He wants you to build in us a desire to trust Him, to be faithful to Him. And what God wants to do in us more than anything is He wants us to reflect His character, and His character is all about loving and giving to other people. And he knows that this, our heart is intimately and strongly tied to the stuff in our lives. And He knows that it's not until we pry our fingers from that and we say, God, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, I want to be a generous person. It's not mine, it's yours. The first check that I'm going to write every month is to the people and the places that you want me to bless with my income. And He says, that's exactly the kind of person I want to build in you. I heard people say this. I used to hear people say this all the time. You know, it's really not that God wants our money, it's what He's wanting to do in me. It's the faithfulness He's wanting. And I would go, what's that about? But when we really begin to look at the Scriptures and all the places that Jesus talks about money, it's true. Third thing is this. Third wise decision you can make is this. And that's get rid of dumb debt. That's a Dave Ramsey phrase. Get rid of dumb debt. I'm really not talking about mortgages. I mean, if you want to pay your mortgage off and you feel like that's the important thing to do, that's fine. I'm not really talking about business debt, because I don't know anything about that. But what I am talking about is this. It's when we talk about dumb debt, getting rid of dumb debt, we're talking about all those things that don't appreciate. All those things that we've become in debt to that are just depreciating. The fact that we've used cards to eat meals and buy clothes and buy furniture and buy cars or student loans or whatever it is, that we don't use those things anymore. And what they are is now they're a drain on our lives. And so what we need to do is, okay, God, Scott, it's good that we're kind of talking about these principles and how I want to, these are goals that I need to set for myself. But listen, what I'm getting ready to share with you right now is one of the most practical things that you'll hear, because it's where a lot of us are, okay? Let's talk about where we are right now. Let's figure out where our money's going. Let's figure out how much we're spending. Let's figure out how much we want to live on. but begin to develop a plan in your life to get rid of, as Dave Ramsey says, all that debt, that dumb debt, that debt that doesn't appreciate at all. It only depreciates. And for most of us, we've already even used it. And some of it we don't even use anymore. Listen to this proverb. Proverbs 22:7 says this: "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let me ask you something. Who do you want to be a servant to? You don't want to spend one more day being a servant to a company. You don't want to spend another day of your life being a servant to a company that doesn't even know your name. Because you know what? When you call them up on the phone, you say, "I've got a question about my account," or "I need to work out some sort of something because I'm kind of in a hole." A lot of us have been there. And you say, "My name is so-and-so." And you know what they're going to say? "Can I have your account number?" You don't mean anything to them. And when you begin to share your story or what's going on in your life, and they'll say, "That's unfortunate, but this is what our rules are." Do you want to be a servant to that person, or do you want to be a servant to the Father that says, "I love you, I care for you, you can trust me, and I have the best for you in mind"? Because you know what? When you begin to feel financial pressure, you're going to feel it personally. And companies don't feel anything for you personally. You're a number. You're in debt. And they would love to have a lifetime relationship with you. They don't need to know, and they don't know your name. And so what we can begin to do is proactive, is preemptive, is to do this. To set a goal to say, "God, you know what? We're going to sit down, as hard as it is. We're going to figure out where our money's going. We're going to talk about a percentage that you want us to live on. We're going to establish some prioritization in our lives. We're going to give first, save second, live on the rest. That's what we're going to do." And as we begin to do that, we're going to set a goal. And we're going to set a goal that we're going to get out of debt. And you know what happens? This is the truth. I've heard this over and over and over. If you set a goal that you want to be out of debt in 2 years and you feel like that's realistic, you know what will happen? You'll be out of debt in about 1 year. You set a goal you want to be out of debt in about 5 years, you'll be out in about 3. You set a goal where you've got so much debt and you feel like we're in 10 years we want to be out of debt, you'll be out of debt in about 6 or 7. You know why? Because when you say, "God, I want to be faithful," it's amazing how God begins to show up in your life and He blesses your faithfulness when you say, "I want to honor you with every area of my life." God does that. And He does that in couples, and He does that in small groups. Now, in the fall, we're going to begin some small group Bible studies around finances, about how God wants us to live. And we're going to dig into that just a little bit deeper. And I've heard story after story after story about small groups, Bible studies, where people get together, and as crazy as this may sound to some of us, they get together and they begin to set goals that in a year from now, we as a group, as each individual couple or person in this group, we want to get our debt down so much percentage, or we want to retire so much debt. And you know what some groups will even do? Some groups will even have the courage. They'll take a big board and they'll write on that board every person in that group and what their total debt is. Like, you know? You think, "Well, that's nobody's business, is it? That's nobody's business." Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you with something when it comes to the fact that we feel like that's nobody's business. The truth is, somebody already knows your debt and you're a number to them. You see, you and I have already chosen to go public with some people. And we're a number to them. And they hope we never pay it off completely. And the question is this: why would we want to go public with people who don't care about us and be private with the people who do love us and care about us? And the second thing is this: it was so private to begin with, that's how we got in the mess that we're in. If we would go to trusted friends, if we would use people that we trust and love and who love and trust us and say, you know what, we're just kind of thinking through this purchase decision. We're kind of just trying to figure out, is this the wise thing for us to do? And we feel like the better part of wisdom is that we bring some other people into our lives who we feel like are trustworthy, who we feel like have some spiritual perspective, and we just want to bounce this off of you. What do you think? Do you think this would be wise for us to do? And you know what happens? Is that if we've got the courage to, if we don't have the courage to ask that, then we need to be asking ourselves some questions. Why don't I have the courage to ask that? Maybe it's because I want it so bad that I don't want to hear anybody else's opinion. But what happens is, when we begin to get spiritual wisdom and people begin to speak into our lives, that kind of accountability frees us up. And I know it kind of sounds crazy and it kind of sounds scary, and maybe this God's just using this whole series to just kind of prepare some of us for the fall. Let me encourage you. When you sit in a group and you're thinking about, I'm going to share my debt with other people, why would I do that? I would do that because I want people praying for me. We're kind of divorcing our finances from our spiritual life. And I'm going to share with other people other areas of my life, but I want to keep this one private. Why? And you know what's going to happen? You're going to be in a group, if God leads you to do this, you're going to be in a group and you're going to share and you're going to think, oh my gosh, I'm going to share this. And you know what? There's going to be somebody else in the group and they're going to look at you and they're going to go, wow, oh my gosh, he owes that much? But you know what? There'll be somebody else in the group and you know what they'll say? You just wait till it gets my turn. That's chump change. That ain't nothing. And what God does is He begins to use, and for some of us, this is the most foreign concept, and the reason is because you've never latched on to the fact that God has created you for community, and it's in community that He wants to change your life. And when you begin to do that, when you begin to invite other people into that financial process for you, that's when things will begin to make sense. It may be a little bit embarrassing to begin with, but listen, that's why we do small groups. In here, you can make private decisions. In small groups, you go public. You say, this is what I need. This is what I need. And you find out that people love you and surround you and pray for you. The fourth thing is this, the last, and I'll wrap up, is arrange your personal finances around giving first, saving second, and living on the rest third. Arrange your personal finances around prioritization. And the priority is this. Give first, save second, live on the rest. I'm going to decide ahead of time how God wants me to bless other people. It's what God values. Giving will do two things in your life. It'll break the power of greed. When you and I become a generous person, it causes me to question everything else when it's something I just want for my wants. I want for my greed. It'll break the power of greed in our lives. And it will begin to put a rein on discontentment. It'll do both of those things in our lives. And one of the healthiest things that you and I can do as parents or as a couple, especially even with our kids, have three jars. Get three jars. Get three stickers. Give, save, spend. And begin teaching our kids at an early age, when you get this money, give, save, spend. Give, save, spend. Let me say these two things and I'll be done. You may be here this morning, and you may be thinking, you know what? Sounds like a financial seminar more than a sermon to me. I mean, I'm not even a believer. I'm not a Christian. And I'm thinking, you know, I could get that anywhere. And what? The reality is, you're right. You could get these principles anywhere in the world. But let me tell you a couple things. Let me encourage you believers with this as well. A couple things about Christians. One is this. We believe that all principles that are truthful are God's principles. Every principle that's truthful comes from God. And every principle that's truthful that comes from God comes from His Word. And wouldn't you rather learn the truthful principles of God's Word and apply them to your life than go through the hard experiences of life and learn them on your own? And the second thing is this, is not only has God given us truthful principles in His Word, but He's given us, when you become a Christian, and this may sound a little crazy to some people, when you become a Christian, a person called the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And the Holy Spirit gives every person something called self-control. He gives us love and peace and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness. And He gives us something called self-control. And what happens in the Word is that Jesus talked about money so much and how He wants us to live our lives. But not only did He talk about it, He said, I'm also going to give you the power to know how to apply it in your lives. And he gives us something called self-control. This is what I want to encourage you as your pastor, as someone who gathers with these elders and with this staff who prays for you and loves you. Let me encourage you with this. If you'll make these four decisions, if you'll begin to approach God's Word and say, what is it that you have for my finances? You know what will happen? You'll be more generous. You'll be more financially secure. You'll be more content. And you'll be prepared for whatever the future holds. Whatever it is that He holds. Wouldn't you rather serve and be under the leadership of a Father who loves you and wants what's best for you when it comes to your stuff? Let's pray together.